You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with...
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulolo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Jeannie Sue on the Brunt Zone. Our guest this morning is Leonard Gorton from Just Fencing. Good morning, Leonard. Good morning and welcome to Zone Radio, the voice of the valley.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. It's always a pleasure being here.
It's been a long time. I think it was in 2022, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there, yes.
So that's a long time. So yeah. I think you need to let everyone know about yourself, you know.
Okay. It's been sure. Yeah, my name is Leonard Gorton. I'm the owner of Just Fencing. We were established in 2005. We've been servicing the valley since then. And, yeah, we like to stay local.
So you're a local boy.
I'm a local bred boy, yeah. Went to Sun Valley Primary, Fisher Kai. So, yeah.
You really are a local boy.
Oh, yes.
So, Leonard, what made you go into this kind of business, fencing?
I originally was working at the pole yard, and one of our contractors, Frank Brewer, asked me to join him, and I joined him, and yeah, I haven't looked back since.
Well, fencing is important, isn't it? It's also there's different reasons why people
use fencing. There's definitely. I mean, there's a decorative. There's a security aspect.
So, could you break that down for us? You know.
Okay. In decorative type of fencing and that, it's stuff around to beautify your garden. You know, something like trellis work or ladder fencing, or even just normal slatted fencing in a different way. Security-wise, it's securing your perimeter of your thing. It's your first line of defense from intruders. Obviously, with crime escalating, it is a big thing now. There are various different types of fencing we can do.
Yes.
We generally discuss that with the client and see what their needs are.
All right. Do you charge for your quotes?
No, quotes are free.
All right. So then you go and visit the client. And I know Vibracrete used to, fencing at one stage kind of disappeared, and then Vibracrete was definitely it. But now I've noticed fencing is definitely coming back.
Yes, all definitely. Right. People don't like Vibracrete, or not many people like Vibracrete anymore. There is still small requests for that. It is one of the cheaper forms of fencing. We mainly do timber fencing. Timber's our specialty. And then we do a lot of what the people call clear view or better view fencing.
I've noticed that because when you ride, there's a lot here. There's a lot in the valley.
Yes.
And then it's got the label on there, clear fencing.
Yes. Now,
what does that mean? That means that it doesn't affect your house.
Yes. You know, you've got a visual thing through. So you can see through the fencing. But you still have that secure barrier, a little bit more sturdy than your old tennis court fencing and stuff like that.
All right. So I've got some questions, a few questions for you, if you don't mind. What is the highest fence you can put up?
Depending on area. So generally, facing the road in areas, your maximum height is supposed to be 1.8 meters.
Okay.
Side boundaries and the back, you're allowed 2.1 meters, but you can chat to your neighbor and go higher as long as they are agreeing to it.
Is there a reason why there has to be, a height for fencing? I know Vibracrete, that would make sense because fencing you can still see through.
Yeah. It's the bylaws. Unfortunately, more people are going for the 2.1 than 1.8. Just purely as the guys can literally hurdle over 1.8.
Yeah. Do you have to give certificates out for this as well?
No.
No.
No
and you don't need engineers in because how deep do you go down?
Yeah. The posts are generally 600 deep. with a 400 by 400 by 600 concrete footing. That's engineer specs. Generally, also depending on site conditions, if it's very sandy soil and that, I like to go a little bit deeper. I like to at least hit 900 deep with a concrete footing, just for more stability.
All right. Then the other question is, does this increase property value?
Definitely. Security, if you've got good security, good fence around your property, it definitely adds value to your property.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for security, and the influx of people coming from Durban and Joburg heightens security levels.
And then putting up a fence, does it affect the boundary?
The boundary, what I always ask the client first off is, do you know where your boundary pegs are? If not, I generally advise using a land surveyor, come in, make sure that we are on the line. You don't want to be putting up a fence twice or charging the client more than they have to.
If you put it up and then get told, sorry, you've got to move.
Yes, it has happened.
So explain to us, so a client phoned you and so break it down for us. So a client phoned you to say...
I get a phone call from a client. First thing I ask them, what are your needs? What is the purpose of the fence? Then once we've sort of established that, we set up a date and time to meet. I arrive on site. We go through things. Sometimes they ask for pictures, actual samples, so I can give both. And there we start having a look at the layout of the land, what is possible, what isn't possible. Stuff like sliding gates or swing gates, you know, if it's on a, you know, I generally try and promote a sliding gate cost-wise.
Right. Do you do that as well?
Yes.
So you cover the gates as well?
Yes. So we manufacture sliding gates.
Oh, that's awesome to know. So you need to mention that as well so that our listeners can hear.
and we also install gate motors. So.
Okay. So it's not just fencing.
Yes.
All right. So then you need to let us know about this.
Sorry.
No, it's fine because our listeners eat, you know. So now that you go and you visit the client and you walk round the wall.
Yeah, the perimeter, and we see what we can do and what we can't do, and just get a feel for what the client's needs are.
Yes. What is the most popular fence at the moment?
It is either, I prefer using the Beta Fence product, so it's either the Beta Fence or actually timber fencing. Timber fencing is very popular in the valley.
But now getting to timber fencing, I mean, you've got to, it's hard work to maintain, isn't it? Because you've got to keep it...
Sealed. Yes and no. Okay. Right. Depending on what you're using it for and where and things. We've literally had fences up from 2005 that haven't been touched with a lick of paint or anything, and they're still sitting there.
Yeah. Does it obviously comes treated?
We only use treated timber, unless it's a hardwood, and it's all CCA treated. It's a pressurized treatment. Most of the treatments for above ground contact, whereas the posts are H4 and they are in ground contact.
We have good morning, Sharon. Sharon just comes through to say that you do amazing work.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. Well, that's awesome to know for our listeners to know as well. So now you've discussed with the client what kind of fencing. Do you do you sort of let them know what fencing they should, or do you leave it up to them and then guide them to say, I don't think so, I do?
I leave it up to the client because it's at the end of the day, it's what the client wants. It's not what I want. So I would advise if certain things, but I generally leave it up to the client.
Yeah. And how long does this take from start to finish? How long would it take? Well, it also depends on the size of the home.
Yes, depends.
And weather.
And weather. Yes, and weather's been...
Yeah, how have you coped with the weather that we've had?
We've got a backlog, so yes. I won't say that. But it's also created a lot of work with us. With all the storm damage, it's created a lot of work for us. So
you also repair damaged fences.
How
do you do that? It depends on how bad it's. Do you replace or?
It depends. We try and use as much as possible, you know, to bring costs down for the client.
Yes,
but sometimes it actually works out easier to replace with new, and works out more cost effective, because if you think of a timber fence, if we have to knock all those planks off, knock all the nails out, it takes labor and time. Whereas if we just put a new fence up and remove the old fence, take it to the tip. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
Wow. And then also, what happens when now we all go to gates? And so now we've got fences now. What about gates? Because I know, I mean, you're right in our valley here in the deep south. I mean, lots of them have got cast iron. You know, I think it's all for security, whatever it is. So, and,
well, also insurances also stipulate now, the first thing they want to know is your car in a locked garage?
Yes.
Have you got a secure perimeter?
That's
with
true.
A locked gate?
Yes, so, that is very true.
I used to outsource my gates before. Now we've got a permanent welder that sits and welds all day, makes gates. I always have our gates hot dip galvanized. And then an additional thing, a client can ask if they would like it powder coated or not.
Okay.
So we'll send it.
And that's where it comes with the different colors to suit your home.
Yes. And then, there's endless designs. So we'll take up what the client wants. And
So what is hot off the press designer is at the moment?
That's such a variant. I mean, it depends from client to client, from architect to architect. So, we do a lot of like horizontal timber cladding on the gates. So we have the exposed steel frame, and then you have the timber recessed inside, so it looks quite nice.
Timber cladding.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, and then you spoke about you do the gate motors.
Yeah, so we...
How does that work? Is that garage... Is that not garage motor?
Gate motor.
Gate motor. How does that work?
Well, there's an amazing company called ET. It's nice ET drive systems. They make the motors here in Observatory. I generally use the ET Drive 500. That motor takes up to 500 kilos. So it's a very strong motor. It's a very reliable motor. That's the reason why we use them. And that ET has their offices in Woodstock or Observatory. It's easy for us to take the motherboard there. They test it. They fix it right there. And we can try it. Get back to the client the same day, and
then how does one open the gate? Obviously, you get a remote and
you get your little button remote. It's generally got two or four, sometimes even six buttons, depending on all the things.
Have you also got an emergency? Because we use the scout hall for our boot camp, and we had to put on the code on our phones. Especially I started with me and. It was working. It was working beautifully, but just you know, it's got the program present. Yeah. Now I am struggling, and it's intermittent. And no matter what I do, and I've got to keep phoning to say, please help us get in.
Yeah.
So what happens to that? Because I know everything is you've got. They didn't give us a remote. This is what's on our phone.
I think what they've got there is a cell switch. So you dial a number and it enters you in, or they've got a keypad next to the gate, which you punch.
I think this what happens is it's on the phone. I've got to go for, it's called Flush or something. You press on that, and it's their program.
Okay.
You press on that, and then obviously first fish hook should come up.
Okay.
Then you press on that, and the gate opens. But I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know.
Well, the weather's giving a lot of gremlins, and depending on what motor and what system they're using.
All right. I wanted to ask, so what emergency button could I use to get in then if I can't get hold of anybody?
Well, it depends. Yeah. You see, I haven't seen the system. Yeah.
Do you offer that? Do you offer like emergency switch with the remote?
We can offer it depending on the system. So, we definitely do.
Right. So you were talking about faults.
Faults. Yeah, faults are... Of various. I mean, with this weather, we've had some serious gremlins. Also, with the load shedding has caused havoc with most computer systems and batteries. I mean, 9 times out of 10, what we do is replace batteries. Batteries. It is an issue.
How long do these batteries actually last?
With the load shedding, we can't actually tell you.
We're going to keep our fingers crossed. We're touching wood because we haven't had, but it must have been a menace for you.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, I even had a lithium-ion battery in my personal gate motor, which I had to replace the other day. And it wasn't even a year old, which is extremely frustrating.
Yeah, and it would be. So explain to us, because I mean, as you said, you do faulty gates, you repair them as well.
Yes.
So you can just tell us what you do there.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to faulty gates and that and gate motors, generally the first thing we ask the client is it making a beeping sound? Because generally if it's making a beeping, it's power to the motor.
Yes.
Also, nowadays, you need to get a CNC from a wireman for the gate motor. So you can't just plug it into a wall like we used to do.
So you do need certificates for the
gate motor, especially motors. If you're going to be reselling your house.
Okay.
So that's that. There's so many different gremlins. Everything from ants and geckos and stuff like that.
Ants,
yeah. Because they're attracted to the heat of the motor.
Of course.
They crawl in and they do their business on the motherboard, and then we have to replace or get it cleaned and try. So a little trick is to mothballs. Just put a few mothballs in your gate motor and it keeps all the hojos out.
Okay. So do you suggest that to them?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Do you actually put the mothballs in for them?
When we install a gate motor, we generally do.
Okay.
Keith, my motor guy, he's got bags of mothballs wherever he goes, and he pops it into the motors when we do the installation.
I think that's a very good tip.
Yeah.
You also made mention with the rain and the soil that's got so wet, and obviously with in this area, flooding must have been a headache
flooding
for you.
It's damaged gate motors, damaged fences. I mean, the earth is moving with this amount of rain. It's so saturated. The fences start leaning over. So we've been going back to sites and straightening fences and reconcreting poles. Snap poles. We've replaced poles.
Snap poles. Yeah. Obviously, because it would break from the top, the boundary.
From the base where the concrete footing is. Right there.
So how do you repair that? You've got to actually dig up and replace the whole?
Dig the whole concrete out, dig the post out, put a new post in. Hope that the braces aren't damaged. If they are, we have to rebuild the fence and work from there.
So, we have had terrible, we've had terrible weather. wet.
Yeah, good bad.
So it obviously shorts the motor.
Yes.
Are the motors not covered?
They are covered, but they're only raised about 100 mils. The actual motor itself and the motherboard is raised about 100 mils off the ground. So if you have flooding over that and it gets into the motor,
right. Yeah. And then you made mention that you need a certificate. Do you contact, when you do the job, do you contact you've obviously got someone that works with you that can provide?
I can provide an electrician, or if the client has their own electrician, because a lot of people like using their own contractors and they've got their set contractors.
Yes.
We work together with the electrician.
So before I ask you one question, and I hope many have the same problem that I have. This is personal. Is there anything else that you just want to give a tip to all our listeners? Is there anything you want to put out there?
About motors?
About your fencing, motors, gates?
My big thing is also we're doing a lot of repairs lately for dodgy fences, dodgy contractors that have come through and haven't done things correctly. So my biggest advice is use somebody that's been in the industry for a long time. Use a reputable thing. Phone previous clients up and get references.
Yes. And they can also contact you. And do you give free advice?
Free advice I do. I'm not keeping all the secrets to myself. Right.
So you don't charge for quotes, and you, do you just work in the valley, or do you work out the valley as well?
We work the whole Western Cape. Oh, so,
that's awesome to know.
So yeah.
Right. So now I have a question. We've got a border collie, that decides that he's very clever. Mm-hmm. He's definitely clever than all of us, and he manages to clear our fence. It's actually like a 6-foot fence, but he manages to get through a fence, don't ask us how. And then he bolts and he does Paw Patrol. So he's become quite a popular Paw Patrol border collie, name of Shep, that's Glencairn Heights. Okay. But he's also starting to move over the mountain. Now, what suggestion can you give us to keep our intelligent ship inside?
Okay. There are a few options. We can either remove the old fence, put a new fence up that is taller.
Okay.
Second option is putting an extension fence on top and hope that Shep doesn't get over. In my experience, I had a pit bull that did that very thing. Extended a wall by 600 and he still cleared it.
Yeah.
Lastly, people aren't going to like it, but electric fence. Right. It's a twofold thing.
So that, it just gives him a little shock. So then
you'll get one zap and you'll never go again.
Okay.
That's pretty much how I found out. I got one zap and I never touched it again. So it is horrible, but it is a twofold thing. Yeah. I know they use the cattle fences and stuff like that to keep the cattle inside the paddocks and stuff like that. That's a little bit higher voltage than what I'd like to use.
Yes. Would you be able to do that?
I can advise you. Once again, electric fencing, you need a COC.
Yes. Yes, you would.
So I actually subcontract that out to another company.
All right.
And they are very good. Right.
So that would be the only go to keep our poor patroller inside. Yeah. And I mean, he's cunning. He's sharp. Yeah. I mean, on Sunday, he landed up over, went a walk with the master and he bolted and didn't come back like he usually comes back. And he was in high level road.
Sure.
And we got a message on Facebook was sending, do you know this dog?
Sure. Yeah, I know.
So, summer's coming, know, there's snakes and we also worried, So thank you. Thank you for that advice. So now we need you to give out your details, please.
Okay. Firstly, my mobile number, 082-371-1884. Email is leonard@justfencingcapetown, the full word capetown, .co.za.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge with us. And
it's always a pleasure.
Yes, and I know people, there are a lot of our listeners, so give us a contact number, give us, and I'm so glad you actually knew your number. Do you know how many of our guests sit there and forget the number. Leonard, have a lekker day.
Thank you
Be
so much.
Be safe out there. Bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach, Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.